Yeah, if you want to turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll continue on. And verse 16, he says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." As believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have the mind of Christ. And that was my sermon title this morning, "We Have the Mind of Christ." And this is one more gift from God that belongs to us who are in Jesus Christ. It is a reality for the church or for the believer, whether we act like it or not. Whether we understand it or not, we have the mind of Christ. Maybe sometimes we have to be told what we have, and maybe sometimes we don't understand it. To me, it's like sometimes we lose our glasses and we're looking for them, and they're on top of our head the whole time. Or I've had conversations, I'm sitting there on the phone trying to look for my phone. You know, we're frantically looking for that thing that we can't find, and it's right there. Sometimes we have to be told what we have. And I think the church in Corinth was like that. They're running around looking for something in the world, in culture, even in their assembly. And Paul says, stop. Be still. You have what you are looking for. It's right in front of you. It's from Jesus Christ. Here it is. Let me give it to you. It's the mind of Christ. This passage over these next 8 verses here tells us what we have. We need to know what God has given us and how God has enriched us, what God wants for us. Every one of us who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the youngest to the oldest, have the mind of Christ. And it's a true source of godly wisdom. It's a wisdom that is not worldly, a wisdom that is not of men. It's a wisdom that does not divide, but a wisdom that demonstrates the power of God. It's a wisdom that equips us as we wait for the Lord's return. Paul here wrote to the church in Corinth that he did not come to them proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. That's in chapter 2, verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He spoke about what and how he preached, what he proclaimed aloud. And in verse 6, he pulls his audience aside to tell them something. And we talked about 6 through 8 a little bit last week, but I think he did it with a whisper. Verse 6 says, "Howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." In Ephesians chapter 5:15, he said, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil." We all need wisdom. We all need guidance from the Lord. We all need direction. God wants you to live wisely. Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 24 says, "But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Even in verse 30, he said, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." The church needs wisdom. The believers need wisdom. And as I began to think of that word wisdom, many people may think of age. Maybe a wise person is an older person. And that's something certainly desirable, but we don't have to look too far in our day to find elderly people who live foolishly. So maybe it has nothing to do with age. Maybe you think about degrees. Somebody that has degrees must have wisdom. But an education is only as good as what you do with it. You know, I know people who advance degrees that aren't worth to them the paper it is printed on. Maybe you think of experience. They've been through a lot. But experience can make a person lazy, complacent, ineffective. Wisdom is defined as the capacity to understand and function accordingly. So wisdom is not limited to simply knowledge. Wisdom is a knowledge that acts. Wisdom is a knowledge that acts. Church here in Corinth, you think you are wise because you've lived a time on this earth. You've had certain spiritual experiences because you know certain things, because you follow certain people. None of that is wisdom in God's eyes. Wisdom is something that God gives by His Spirit. It's for a group of people called the mature. I'm not going to spend much time on it, but 6 through 9 says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." That wisdom is first described as something that is imparted. It's something that is spoken. We speak wisdom. It is not that we ignore this topic altogether because the world seeks after it. The church has wisdom, but look what it is not. It is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. Just because a person is in position of leadership does not mean that they've got wisdom right. We do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age. It is not a wisdom for everyone. Who is this wisdom, this godly wisdom spoken to? And verse 6 says, among the mature, among the perfect, which those are the believers in Jesus Christ. Immature people are not capable of thinking for themselves or understanding what they are given. They are like babies. The immature are babes in Christ. And as a newborn Christian, that's where we begin, but that is not where we stay. If we want the wisdom of God, we have to grow. We start with milk, we start with that, but then we got to go to the meat. We have to get into doctrine. We have to get into the foundation. I believe it is possible for someone to be in Christ and to be immature. It's a very natural thing when someone first comes to Christ. They need the simple instructions. They need the simple message. They need the simple gospel. But we have to grow. We have to grow in sanctification. We have to grow. And that is where maturity comes from. You can think of a human baby, and you can think of a human adult. Both are human. Both have a body, soul, and mind. In these ways, a baby and an adult are the same. But if you begin to look at them, they are majorly different. In the body, a baby and an adult eat different foods. A baby does not have teeth, so it begins with milk. An adult has teeth and may eat meat. And the baby has different emotions than an adult. And a baby, all it does is cry to get its way, to get what it needs. I'm sure there's adults that do the same thing, but adults react emotionally different. We have to understand the maturity levels of the believer. The mature are spiritual adults who live for the sake of others in the community of faith. Immature people, I believe, are selfish people. Mature people are selfless, caring more for others than themselves. Selfishness is immaturity. And there's a lot of immaturity in the body of Christ. You can see it in the book of Corinthians, how immature they were. Verse 6 there said, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this world or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away." The rulers of this world are all about self-preservation. But the wisdom of God in Christ is about self-sacrifice. The Apostle Paul even said that he knew nothing among them except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important thing to the Word of God. It is what saves us. It's what keeps us. It gives us eternal security. It makes us whole. The immature had not yet taken up their own cross and died to self. If we do not die to self, we will not grow in the wisdom of Christ. Verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." This wisdom of God, the wisdom of the cross, it belongs to God. He had a plan before the world began. It is from Him. It is timeless. It was hidden before the world. God knew what He was doing before creation, and it involved our glory. It involved our salvation. It involved His plan. Look at Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." Again, the mind of Christ. "That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." We talked about it last week, but God knew how He was going to bring salvation to mankind. He had to keep it a secret, and He revealed it to the Apostle Paul in verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." This was His salvation plan. This was planned from the beginning of time. It was kept secret from the beginning of the world. Verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Many times in life we make judgments by what we see, what we hear, what we imagine. But our human judgments are not reliable for understanding God's heart and will. God's heart and God's will must be revealed by none other than God Himself. The wisdom is from God. It is different from the wisdom of the world and is spoken to those who are mature, who can comprehend, who can understand, and who can act upon it. Verse 9 is so powerful. "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." It's beyond human comprehension what He has for you in store. It could be here on this earth. It could be in heaven. It could be, "eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." That is written to the believer. Verse 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Here we're talking about the Holy Spirit. God will always be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here it talks about the wisdom of God. Is not revealed through the Word, but He says through the Spirit of God. We will not get wise by reading God's Word alone. We cannot understand the Word without His Spirit. We first have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. We have to receive His Holy Spirit to understand the Word of God. Many people have read through the Bible and do not believe in Jesus Christ. Atheists have read the Bible and do not believe in Jesus Christ. Many Jews have read the Bible and do not believe in Jesus Christ because they do not understand what they read. They do not have the revelation of wisdom that is from the Spirit of God. We first have to hear the gospel. We first have to understand. And the gospel is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is the gospel for today, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein you stand, by which ye are saved." Verse 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." If you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, faith is taking God at his word. Doesn't mean you have to understand everything. Doesn't mean you have to know everything. You do have to believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross, that he paid for your sins, and that he rose again the third day. If you believe that, you are sealed until the day of redemption. And that is how we receive the Holy Spirit, which then we can go into the Word of God and study and learn and grow together. Verse 11, he continues on, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." Can we know God's thoughts? Can we instruct God? In Isaiah it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." No one can comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We humans may search for godly wisdom, but only the Spirit can search the depths of God's hearts and reveal it to us. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and convict us. From 12 through 16, he says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." That word "freely given" in verse 12 represents the grace of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Jesus Christ has done all the work for you. And after salvation, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus." Salvation is a free gift. The grace of God overcomes our sin of immaturity. Every one of us who are in Christ have received the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is God's provision for us to understand the things God has graciously and freely given to us, which is the gift of salvation. Like Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. He was seen by many. He is coming again. He will be highly exalted. Every knee will bow. We who are being saved will share in his glory. And all of this according to God's plan. We who are in Christ are living in God's plan and purpose in Jesus Christ. And we only understand these things through the wisdom of God, through the Spirit of God, revealed by the Spirit of God. So the question that remains today is, how do we become mature? One, we have to stop doing things in our own strength. Many times in life we say we can do this on our own. We know we can do it. We're fine. We don't need any help. We need to ask for help. We need to ask for guidance. We need to get into the Word. We need to pray. Before reading Scripture, always start with prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. He will give you something you have never seen before, and I promise you that. Maturity is something that is spiritual. It comes from God's Spirit. We must depend not upon human wisdom, but upon the power of God. Our lives must be guided by the word of the cross. When we are guided by the cross, we will not be selfish. We will be humbled. We won't be so concerned with ourselves, but in wisdom we will see our lives as part of God's timeless plan and purpose in Christ. We will rid ourselves of divisions and will unite ourselves in the same mind and judgment around the person and the work of Jesus Christ. When we become mature, wise believers, we won't care so much about how spiritual we are, but how obedient we are. That is true wisdom. We have the mind of Christ. It is a gift of God given graciously by God so that we can be enriched in Christ in all speech and knowledge, so we are not lacking in any gift as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that each and every one of us have the mind of Christ. Let us close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God and what you have given to us today. The minute that we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the mind of Christ. Whether we use it or not is our choice. I pray that each and every one of us, before opening up the Word of God, that we will pray for guidance and decisions in our life, that we will pray for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us so we can have the wisdom of God. That we can have the wisdom that He gives us. Verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." What a powerful, powerful verse. If we just pray for the wisdom of God and let you lead and guide us. We pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.